Blog Talk Radio. some friends you gain, some you lose. In the back of your mind, you're looking for love, but found the blues. That's why I've come from far away, to take away the blues. And I've come to say, I wanna be more than just somebody. I wanna be more than just a friend. I wanna be more than someone special, 'cause special friends sometimes they won't understand. Now we can laugh and share the pain, all of the tears, and joy is gained. When all of us fail to show, I hope you believe and always know. Time like fair weather brings. I wanna be more than just somebody. I wanna be more than just a friend. I wanna be more than someone special, 'cause special friends sometimes they won't understand.
Yes, 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 yes. Good morning. And I said we are in the beginning of Easter week. And I tell you, this is such an amazing time. I remember growing up as a child, I always loved Easter in Jamaica. We make all the Easter buns and all of that. Easter bun is like a sweet bread that we bake. So I love Easter. I love Easter. It's just yesterday, my friend George Marcinko and I, we were talking about some of the different practices at Easter time. So whatever it is that you're celebrating this Easter, I pray that you really don't miss the real reason for the season. Welcome to the A New Day Show. And today we are going into part three of the Millionaire Mindset with my honored guest who will be calling in at 11, Dr. George C. Frazier. And oh my heavens, I've been having some problems this morning getting on here, and I had to reschedule to start at a later time. So I just pray that this technology will hold up. And just help us to get to where we need to be. Again, I'm so thankful. On the 29th, it's going to be 4 years that we are here on Blog Talk Radio. And I thank you guys very much for your amazing support here on the show. I want to invite you to come back on Friday at 7 p.m. when we are going to be having a virtual celebration for the 4 year anniversary and also a virtual book launch party for my books that are on Amazon, collections of my favorite quotes. And those quotes has been helping me on my journey and the process that my life has been, you know, just experiencing. And I know that it has helped me, and I know that it will help others too. So I pray that you'll support me there on the 29th, every book that is sold on that day. I will be donating $1 to the breakfast feeding program. So right here on Blog Talk, I want you to come on out and celebrate with me. I want you to also open your hearts to volunteering, either to help me here on the radio show or on the TV show. I'm looking for some able bodies who are responsible and excited about learning new technologies to help to produce a show over in the Bridgeport area. So message me right here, or you can send me an email to dynamicdaphne1@gmail.com, and I'll give you all the information about how you can become part of that amazing team over there in Bridgeport. So come by and leave me a message here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm looking for a producer. My producer went kaput on me. I hear he's well, but I don't know. He hasn't turned up for a little while. I hear he has some new exciting news, but I'm not going to tell his news here on the radio. I am going to let him come back and tell us what's going on in his life. So, Mr. Walter Misch, if you're listening, I hear something, and that's why you went kaput on me. So come on out. Come back here and help me. So if you are listening and you are interested in learning about how to produce a show here on the World Wide Web, I am really in need of some help. While we are waiting on George C. Fraser to call in, he's scheduled to call in at 11 a.m. And I'm so thankful that we have gotten this technology resolved. I want to share a few quotes here on knowledge. And then I'm going to share some from Mike Roberts, from Mike V. Roberts' book, Action Has No Season. I want to share here about knowledge. Knowledge is like money. The more he gets, the more he craves. The small part of ignorance that we arrange and classify, we give it the name knowledge. Where is the life we have lost in living? Where is the wisdom we have lost in knowledge? Where is the knowledge we have lost in information? And these are three important questions asked by T.S. Eliot. T.S. Eliot. And they oftentimes said that We don't get the right answers because we never ask the right questions. And so I'm just going through a few of these questions that we can ask ourselves so we can have better insight on here. So I want to read another few here. There's one by Thomas Hurley. It says, if a little knowledge is dangerous, where is the man who has so much as to be out of danger? And then the last one here says, an intensive knowledge is needed to thinking people. It takes away the heat and fever and helps by widening speculation to ease the burden of mystery. So those are just some quotes from on knowledge, and that came from the Webster 21st Century Books of Quotes. And as I had promised, I want to share from Michael V. Roberts' book, Action Has No Season. And I want to start off by sharing the greatest time in history to be in business. And this is from a speech to Black Advertising and Marketing Professionals that Michael Roberts did in 1995. I got to clean my spectacles off here. I'm not seeing so well. I think I need to try and see if I can get me some contact lens. I don't know if I'll be able to cope with that. However, I want to share from Michael's speech here. He says, it is my pleasure to come before you today. As your speaker, I am challenged once again to come up with a subject matter that is relevant, helpful, and educational. I am here because the Million Man March made me realize that I have a responsibility to share my knowledge and experience with the larger community of African Americans, to do whatever I can to help my brothers and sisters grow and succeed in business and in our society. Thus, my mission here today is to describe what I believe is the road to success and prosperity, and hope that I will inspire some of you to strive for success and use that success to help others as I hope to help you today. I am still and will always be a student of business. I have learned that the business world and the opportunities it brings are never static. Both are always changing. I have learned to change with it, to recognize emerging opportunities and to seize them whenever possible. Today, I would like to share some of my knowledge and experiences with you and discuss what I believe the future can offer to those who have the vision to recognize change and the courage to pursue their vision. It is my belief that American dream is for everyone, and it's through the free enterprise system that the dream will come true. I'm certain you have all heard this before, and the lingering unanswered question is, how do I recognize those opportunities that will lead to success? I'm going to begin by answering with a short history lesson. You have heard people say that history repeats itself. I believe this is true, but not in the way most people perceive the repetition. Let's examine our current history for a moment. In the 1960s and 70s, were a time of great social change in America. The emergence and institutionalization of the civil rights movement. This change resulted in great numbers of blacks being elected to political office and succeeded in business and professions. Just as it appeared, we were making real progress. The 1980s witnessed the beginning of a fundamental change in the economics, the beginning of the end of our industrial manufacturing economy. More and more of our traditional industries lost their dominant position. America textile, automobile, electronic, and oil industries could not compete in the emerging global economy. The equal empowerment opportunities we fought so hard to secure began to appear as shadow victories in the face of massive layoffs and dying industries. Now, let's look back 100 years. What do we find? The 1860s and the 1870s were decades of the great social change. The initial emergence and the institutionalization of the civil rights movement. Reconstruction witnessed historic numbers of blacks elected to political office. In fact, during this period, blacks comprised the majority of lower chamber of South Carolina's state legislature. Although still physically segregated, blacks excelled in business and the professions as never before. This all began to change in the 1880s, as just like in the 1980s. Wealth began to accumulate at the top. The robber barons became the driving force of the economy. And great masses of people were economically dislocated. Fear led to the growth of the Ku Klux Klan and civil rights were curtailed. But it was also the decade in which America abandoned its Argentinian social and economic structure and became a full-fledged industrial society. I want to welcome John, Sam. Hi, John. Hello. How are you? I'm waiting on George C. Fraser to come on. So in the meantime, I am sharing one of Michael V. Roberts' speeches that he gave back in 1995 from his book, Action Has No Season. So let's continue there until I George C. Fraser calls in. In 1903, Henry Ford began mass production of the gas engine automobile. 1908, Mobil Ford made mobile transportation affordable for middle-class Americans. You didn't have to be a Henry Ford or Rockefeller to prosper in this environment. The visionary entrepreneur of the 1890s through the 1900s would have looked at the Model T and recognized a fortune in the manufacture of tires, steel, and even piping for automobile seat covers. He or she would have looked at the growing use of Edison's light bulb and the ability to distribute electrical power to masses of people and recognize a fortune in the design and manufacture of lamps. What have we learned from this brief history? Lesson: we have learned that we are in a comparable period of change and opportunity. The 1990s and the beginning in decades of the 21st century are America's change from an industrial society to an informational society. This change will be most notable in the fields of communications and transportation, but it will also change our families' structures, our work, habit, and environment, our educational system, and of course, our economy. If we could retrospect on 1890s entrepreneur, he or she would look at this emerging information age and see countless opportunities in the distribution of information, in the development of new ways to communicate in ideas in the market and product. The emerging wireless communication industry will propel these opportunities to a global scale. And if you think globally, about this 50% of the world's population has never made a telephone call, but one of the most sophisticated telephone networks in the world Rwanda, where 100% of main phone lines are digital. In the U.S., 49% of the main phone lines are digital. The world's development countries in South America, Asia, and Africa plan to spend $200 billion in the next 5 years to bring their phone network to their populations into the 21st century. AT&T had fewer than 100 people stationed abroad a decade ago. Today, they have 50 million employees overseas. And remember, you don't have to be in Africa to do business there. That's the essence of the information age. Look at the emerging information age market in this U.S. In 1994, PC sales exceeded TV sales for the first time ever. In 2000, PC makers will be looking at a potential market of 106 million households. Or consider Intel, the premier maker of computer chips, growing at better than 30% a year. Many market analysts expect the chip maker to overtake Ford and Exxon as the nation's profit leader within 10 years. One of the most profound changes in this country will come as a result of the new telecommunication bill passed by Congress just last week. It is the industry's equivalent of the Berlin Wall coming down, in essence. The bill will sweep away regulation barriers and prevent telephone cable broadcasts and other communications company from entering each other market. The combination of new wireless communication technology and the new communication law will create over 1 million new jobs in the year 2005. As the nation's communication market expands, many economists expect to be affected. Job growth, such as the interstate highway system, spurred growth not just in the auto industry, but in the cities and towns nationwide. And we must understand that we are not at the beginning of this change. We are in the middle of the first major wave of change, and most compelling examples is Forbes magazine current list of America's richest people. 9 of the top 50 fortunes have been made in computer software or hardware. Bill Gates, the founder of Microsoft, is the most famous of these. One of the top 50 is in communication McGraw-Cellier, the Rockefellers, Fords, and the millions are still there, but they no longer lead the pack. There, just think for a minute about the change that occurred during the past 5 years. How many of you were computer literate at age 7 or age 5? The majority of today's 7 and 5-year-olds will not know what it's like to be computer illiterate. Information technology is staple of their environment. This is my opinion. The greatest time in history to be in business, it is a time when vision and the right ideas can lead to great success, wealth, and fortune. Let's revisit the history lesson. In the 1860s and in the 1870s were a time of great social progress from African American, as were in the 1960s and 1970s. During these times, Black power was indeed Black in the 1880s and in the 1990s were the time of great prosperity for African Americans. The 1990s and beyond can witness the same progress, and you can be part of this progress. In 1996, my friends, Black power is green. I want to welcome guests 5, 4, 6 to the show. I am waiting on my guests to call in. And in the meantime, I'm sharing Michael Roberts' speech that he gave back in 1995 from his book, Black Has No Action. As a matter of fact, I think I'm going to pause right here. And I'm going to see, because it's not like George not to call in. So I am going to look for his phone number here and to call him and see what happens, because it's really not like him not to call in. So just please, if you would just bear with me. FGH. Let me just see if I can get him here, because it is not like him not to call in. So just bear with me here while I reach out to him and see what is happening here. He's always very prompt, so I am going to dial his number. So I think I'll just play a music while I am waiting to get him on the phone here. Good morning, George. I think you forgot to call into the show at 11. Okay, are you available to call in now? Okay, 646-915-8166. 58166. 8166. Yes, thank you. Yes, yes, yes. Pardon? Just that number. Thank you. All right. Okay, just as I thought, he forgot, because I know he's always on time. So he's going to be calling in right now, and then we're going to just rock and roll. So we're waiting to get him to call in. And after I'm through with him, we are going to finish sharing Michael Roberts' speech here. So, so it's amazing as I read this speech and see what Mike Roberts was speaking about in 1995. These statistics has now so such larger and greater numbers because. Now we have all the tablets and everything like that, and it's just amazing to see. It's just last night we were talking about one of the ladies at the meeting. She was sharing about her 6-year-old calling her to say, "I need an iPad or something," and she says, why are you calling me? But can you look back at our age at 6 growing up, and we knew nothing about the technology and the computers and all of that. So it's just so amazing the way how we have evolved on this journey. So this conversation that we are doing now, the millionaire mindset, it is on time. It is really on time. And each and every one of us are rightfully positioned in this time. It is a time of collaboration. It is a time of a relationship, building relationships and leveraging those relationships. So, you know, it is just amazing, amazing, amazing to see how the different steps that we will take. I was listening to another person on Sunday speaking, and he's saying, as a business consultant, when he gets some new clients now, if they do not have a partner, he encourages them to go get a partner, because there's nothing you can do by yourself now. So we must be out there looking to develop new relationships. So I'm not sure what is happening here. I am waiting for George to call in. He said he was going to call right away, so I don't know if he's experiencing any technical difficulties. So in the meantime, let me just play this. I am not sure why we are not, we are just having some technical difficulties here. Not so sure. I'm trying to play this audio clip and nothing is happening here. So, you know, we just gonna pray that these things work the way they were designed to work. And we are waiting. I just touched the refresh button here. And not sure what is happening here. Woo-hoo! So thankful I'm still on the air, and I'm looking to be able to play the clip here. All right, so I see George is on now, so I'm thankful for that. Good morning.
This is George.
Good morning, Dr. Frazier. How are you?
Good. I was on twice. I could hear you, but you couldn't hear me. I think you had the mute button on.
No, I don't know what's happening, you know, with this technology. It has a mind of its own, but I am thankful.
Sometimes, yes.
That we are on this morning. It's such a pleasure to have you on.
And my pleasure.
You know, it's a good library because I was able, as I was waiting, and I know you're always a man on time, so I know you had to get caught up in another project or something. So in the meantime,
I was on a conference call and I got caught up, and then I got on your line, but somehow or another I was muted out and we couldn't connect, but we're connected now.
Some time I was sharing Mike Robertson's speech that he gave back in September 1995, September 21st. I was sharing his speech that he gave. It's in his book, Action Have No Season. Well, that was good while it lasted. So thank you so much for being part of the Millionaire Mindset Conversation. And I know this is not your first time on here, and I don't think there is anybody in the world who don't know who George C. Frazier is. But as I told you at the top of the hour, George is known as the guru of networking across the world. There is not a conversation you enter into about networking that George C. Frazier's name does not come up. But he is also extremely knowledgeable on a lot of other topics. And that's why I invite him to be part of this conversation pertaining to a millionaire mindset. So, George, I want to hand the mic to you to tell the people a little bit of something new that you did mention to them when you were here the last.
Okay. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, good. First of all, it's good to be with you. It always is. I just admire your tenaciousness and your persistence and just, you know, charting a course and staying that course, because that's really what it takes to earn and to become basically wealthy in America. And I'm trying to remember what that, because I remember I was on not too long ago on your great program, and I don't even remember what we talked about, because it was just sort of a improvisational, free-flow conversation, as it always is when I'm with you, because we, you know, we have a certain synergy and energy and our common vision. We share a common vision, and so we talk about a lot of things. I don't know if I remembered if I talked about the need for your listeners and certainly for black folk in America to understand that the world is changing, and anybody with an apartment or a garage can do what you do. Did I talk about moving from being average to being amazing? Do you remember if I talked about that the last time?
On this platform, although I've heard the conversation, but it was not on this platform. And this is such a needed dialogue for this time, because we cannot be thinking individually. So that's a great way to start this conversation off this morning.
Sure. So I want to talk about moving from average to amazing. I want to talk about building a team, but throw a caveat in there, and that is that not all teams win. So it's nice to be on a team, but it's better to be on a winning team. And that's what we have to work on, being on winning teams, not just on a team. But we have to first understand, as you said earlier in the conversation this morning, there is nothing that you can do on your own by yourself in a vacuum. I defined networking for black people some 25 years ago in my book, Success Runs in Our Race, The Complete Guide to Effective Networking in the Black Community. And I said networking is the identification and the building of relationships for the purpose of sharing information, opportunities, and resources. And the emphasis on that definition is on the building of relationships and sharing. Why? Because all of life is about relationships. All of life is about working with and through other people. In fact, there is no success that you can attain, sustain, or maintain on your own, by yourself, in a vacuum. It's just not possible. There's a beautiful passage in the Bible, John 5:30, and it is a direct quote from Jesus. And Jesus said, "I of my own self can do nothing." Now, this was Jesus. Jesus couldn't get it done on his own, by himself, in a vacuum. So what's up with you? Why would anyone listening this morning think that they could do anything significant, anything worth talking about, on their own, by themselves, in a vacuum? This passage says to me that we were born to network, that we were born to collaborate, that we were born to work with through each other. And so I believe that one's key to success in the 21st century will not be your computer. I don't care what you've read, it will be your relationships. Because all entrepreneurship, all job searches, all upward mobility in the public and private sector workplace, all community building, all organization building, and all nation building are inherently networking initiatives. That is your ability to shape the scope of your search for human resources and bring them to bear on your challenges and opportunities in life is what will ultimately determine your level of excellence or success in life. It's all about relationships, and most people think it's about education. Now, don't get it twisted. Education is profoundly important, but it is not enough. It's only one of three legs on the stool of life. And that's just one leg. So education is important, but it is not enough. It is marketable skills, and relationships are the other two legs. I don't want to spend your time talking about those. I've talked about those in the past with you on several occasions. So networking, networking, networking. So your point this morning is right on point. Your relationships. Introduce me to your five closest friends, and that will tell me who you are. As they know and as they go, you go. Well, let's say that differently. Business is about relationships. Without relationships, you have no business. Without relationships, you have no business being in business. In fact, the business you're really in is in the business of building relationships. It's all about relationships, and most of us don't get that. We don't spend enough time working on cultivating, nurturing, and building relationships at work, at home, and in the community. We have to spend at least, I believe, 40% of our time throughout our entire life building three kinds of networks. First is your personal network. These are the people that know you well. These are the people that cheer you on. These are the people that love you. These are the people that hug you and lift you up. Let's call this your network at home. This is your personal network. Because if your relationships are not right with your close family and friends, nothing else will be right. You've just written your ticket to a living hell. So, one, you have to have a powerful and nurturing network at home. The second network that you're going to have to work on throughout your life is what I call an operational network. These are the people that help you to get specific task done in life. Whether it's the team that you're working on in your place of business, the team that you're working on in your church as a deacon or deaconess or as a minister of some niche or subgroup within your church. But and these people help you to get specific tasks done in life. And these people come into your life and they leave your life, as you've heard the old saying. People come into your life for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. And so these are our seasonal friends. These are the things that as we go through life, we try to get things done. So the things that you are trying to get done, that in 20 years ago, you're no longer trying to get those things done. And you had a different set of goals and objectives and perhaps purpose. The things that you were trying to get done 10 years ago might be done, and you're on to new things. So these are people that come into our lives. This is your operational network. Let's call this your network at work. Okay, so that's your second network. Your third network is your strategic network. These are the people that are smarter than you. These are the people that are where you want to be. These are the people that will drag you into the 21st century kicking, screaming, and crying. These are the people that potentially can be your coach, mentors, consultants, and supporters. Any smart or effective networker can very easily diagram what networking, really effective networking in your life really looks like. All you need to do is stand up and take your right arm and point it towards the sky, and take your left arm and point it towards the ground. So this is what networking looks like. Someone is always pulling you.
Yes, yes.
And you must always be pulling someone.
Yes.
And the minute you break that connection in either direction, you have a hole in your net. And you know what happens when a fisherman gets a hole in his net? The fish get through. Too many holes, and the whole infrastructure of support breaks down. So that's what effective networkers are constantly doing. They're being pulled, because you don't want to be the smartest person in your network. If you're the smartest person in your network, you're in the wrong darn network. Why? Because you can't grow. Who is helping you to grow? Who is teaching and guiding and mentoring and coaching you? So you've got to have a span of people at various levels, at various stages in your life. And by the way, most lives are about 8 passages. We have 8 passages in our life. Each passage is about 10 years, okay? So let me say that differently. You're a different person at 10 years old than you were at 1. You're a different person at 20 than you were at 10. You're a different person at 30 than you were at 20. You're a different person at 40 than you were at 30. You're a different person at 50 than you were at 40, 60 than 50, 70 than 60, 80 than 70. Hopefully you're not the same person at 50 that you were at 10. Now, there are a few people I've run into it in my life that never grow up. But our life is constantly evolving. We're constantly changing. We're constantly growing. And people and new people are constantly coming in and out of our lives. Now, ultimately, our significant other will be the most important decision that we will make. Okay? Your partner. All right? Now, hopefully, if you are lucky and are able to make the kind of evaluation and understand the person that you've chosen to share your life with, that you do that one time. Hopefully. I've been married to the same woman for 40 years, right? It's the best thing that's ever happened to me. Make no mistake about that. Sometimes it takes two times. Sometimes the earlier decision about our partner, because of our own personal challenges and their challenges, we grow apart. And so we have to start over again. And that's okay, because we learn from our mistakes. But you don't want to do it 3 or 4 or 5 times. And I tell brothers this all the time. You can, you know, get married if you want to three or four times, but understand that every time you separate from a significant other, you divide your assets in half. Now, try doing that three times and see what you have left, right? Because it's the first time you divide your assets in half. If you do it again, then you have half your assets, then you have to divide that in half. And if you do it a third time, that means you have a quarter of your assets, you have to divide a quarter of your assets in half. So it's not something we want to do. So what I'm saying is probably the most important decision that we will make in our life is the person that will share our life with us. Because not only in a loving relationship, but in a business relationship, because a family and a partnership is as much as about business as it is about romance as well. And so having the right partner is extremely important. Did you want to say something? I'm sorry, Daphne.
Yes, I want to say something. What you mention here takes us into the conversation this morning of a millionaire mindset. You so eloquently outlined for us the importance of network and relationships. How does this help us cultivate a millionaire mindset, George?
Well, you are, it is very, very, it is much easier to build your wealth when two people share a common vision, have common goals, common objectives, are working in concert with each other to achieve these goals. It is just much easier for two people to do it together than it is for you to do it by yourself. Now, there are those who have done it, in quote, by themselves, but not really. If you peel back the onion on anybody that has achieved any millions or billions, they've done it on the shoulders of many, many, many people. So picking your team, especially your significant others, I think is the foundation for building wealth. There's just no question about that. Now, we talked about this earlier. Networking is extremely important. Understanding the power and importance of relationships, understanding how to manage our relationships and to build the kind of relationships that we need to build the team that we're going to have. And I already explained the foundational the cornerstones for a team are the three kinds of networks that you have to build: personal, operational, and strategic. So your team members come from those three networks that you're going to have to work on. Spend 40% of your time, 50% of your time. I spend 60% of my time working on cultivating, nurturing, and building relationships so that I will have a whole inventory of people to be on the team, or the teams that I'm building to do certain things that ultimately lead to wealth in my business and in my family. Okay? So, but now know that not all teams are winners.
Mm-hmm.
Not all teams win. Only one team is going to win March Madness. Only one team is going to win the Super Bowl. Only one team is going to win the World Series. Okay? So not all teams win. So what happens when a team plays for a year? At the end of the season, what do? They go into the locker room. The coach and the general manager looks at the one-loss record. Then they analyze each member on the team. They look and see where are the weak spots on the team. And then they bless and release the weak players on the team, bring in new players who hopefully will do a better job at that spot on the team. Well, that's a metaphor for life. There are people that come into our life that we must simply bless and release. They are not helping us move our lives forward, and we're not helping them to to move their life forward, they're not a good member of our team. Many of these people are toxic people, who drain you of your time, your energy, your treasure, people who drive you crazy. This is very easy to say to do, very difficult to do. Most people can't remove toxic people and bloodsuckers from their life. They can't. And people who are contributing little or nothing to their team. So let me say that another way. The Creator will invite everybody to the table of life to eat. There will be no one who will be excluded from the table of life, okay? But if the only thing you do when you come to the table of life is eat, mm-hmm. and you don't bring anything to the table, you will not be invited back. Let me say that differently. God didn't put us here to make money. He put us here to make a difference and to add real value. And when we make a difference and add real value, we will not be able to get out of the way of money. Most people have this backwards. So the question is, how are you making a difference and how are you adding real value? And who in your circle, right, contributes to the difference that you're making and the value that you're making as you are contributing to the difference that they're making and the value that they're making or bringing to the table of life? All right? Do you have that kind of team? Because that's a winning team.
Yes.
Right? I would say that many people do, but most people don't. Why? Because most people are just about average.
Mm.
Okay? And so they're just about average. Average. And in fact, I tell people all the time, if you're average, you're going to live a poor life. You're going to have a poor business. You're going to have poor friends. You're going to have a poor career. You're going to have a poor life if you're average today, especially if you're black in America. Because if you're black and mediocre in America, you better leave, because you're going to be marginalized and you're going to ultimately be destroyed. Because if you're average today, you're competing with most of America, because most of America is just about average. Okay? So also, if you're average, brothers and sisters, and I only want to pay you $8 an hour for whatever work I have for you to do, and you don't want to work for that $8 an hour, then leave, because there's 100 people in line willing to work for about $8 an hour. Why? Because they're just about average too. So that's where all the competition is. So basically, I own you at about $8 an hour, because you're just about average, okay? So if you're average, write down below, write the word average, and write below the word average, poor. You're going to live a poor life, okay? Now, if you're good, write the word good down. Mm-hmm. Write that right next to the word average. You're going to live an average life. You're going to have an average business, an average career, and average friends. If you're excellent, write the word excellent next to good, you're going to have a good life. If you're excellent, right, you're going to have a good life. But if you're amazing, you're going to have an excellent life. What I'm saying to you is that the world has changed.
Exactly.
And anybody can do what you do. Okay, anybody with a garage or an apartment. This is especially true for cultural minorities in this country. So we're going to have to ramp up our game, Daphne. We're going to have to ramp up our game. We're going to have to engage in personal growth and development, lifelong learning, and constant, never-ending improvement. In other words, we're going to have to invest in ourselves, okay? Or you're just not going to be able to compete. We're going to have to engage in personal growth and development. Now, do people of color understand the importance and power of this? Many do. Most don't. Oh. Most of us think, oh, I have a college degree. I'm okay. Wrong. A college degree today is equivalent to about a high school diploma. You know how many people have college degrees, right? So a college degree is a good start. Mm-hmm. But it will not get you into amazingness in the 21st century, right? So let me dimensionalize that. Last year, I was inducted into the Minority Business Hall of Fame and Museum. I'm 68 years old. I'm at the top of my game, right? And last year, I spent $13,500 on personal growth and development, conferences, workshops, seminars, CDs, books, webinars, right? And I'm already in the Hall of Fame and at the top of my game. So I would ask your average listener, how much have you spent?
Right.
How much have you invested in yourself, in coaching, mentoring, conferences, workshops, seminars, books, CDs? How much of your hard-earned money last year, what percentage have you invested back into yourself so that you can ramp up your game? So let me say that a little bit more bluntly. I believe that white folks have given black people all they're going to give them. We have freedom, civil rights, voting rights, and public access, okay? You will not be getting white people's money. You will have to kill them first, and you're not going to kill them. That means you're going to have to compete with them. And so if you want to compete with white people and Asians, you better bring your lunch. You better ramp up your game. They have a 350-year head start on you, and they don't take any prisoners when it comes to money and capitalism and producing products and services that you buy. So if you want to compete with them, if you want to move from being average, if you don't want to be relegated to a permanent second-class citizen in this country, you better ramp up your game, or you're never going to become a millionaire or billionaire because you can't compete. You're not smart enough. You don't know enough. You don't know enough about branding, marketing, framing, positioning. You're not amazing. You do not stand out. You can't compete with all of the competition out here. And so that's what it's going to be about in the 21st century. How smart are you? How amazing? How extraordinary? You see, if you're amazing, you will never have to worry about competition, right? If you're amazing, you will never have to get in anybody's line, right? People will get in line for you. Now, I'm not talking about you have to be an amazing rocket scientist. I don't care if you mop floors, and Dr. King said this, be amazing at it. I had a sister here in my building who got out of prison and couldn't get a job other than to clean the building, right? And she was amazing at it. Why was she amazing at it? She dotted every I, she crossed every T, she got every piece of dust. She had a sparkling personality, a very high EQ, emotional quotient, very good interpersonal and people skills. She could talk to people, she was smiling, and she did her work in an amazing way. So three or four of the buildings around here found out about her and wanted to steal her from my building. And so she said, no, I'm going to stay. I've got other plans. And what did she do? Because her personality was so extraordinary, she started her own cleaning service, right? And she was able to get customers at the blink of an eye because they knew of her reputation, with the work that she did, she was extraordinary at. And now today she does $5 million worth of business because she was amazing at cleaning an office.
That's right.
She wasn't average. She wasn't even good. She was amazing. And now she has a $5 million business because she was amazing. So she's a millionaire because she was amazing. She had incredible people skills. She knew what wax to put on the floor. Exactly. She cleaned all the corners. She was amazing. She did it better than anybody. I've been in this building for 20 years. She did it better than anybody that ever cleaned this building. So you want to be a millionaire or a billionaire, you better be amazing. You better ramp up your stuff. You better learn. You better invest in yourself. And you better be extraordinary at what you do, or you won't be able to compete. You will live on the margins in this country, and then you will be marginalized and then ultimately relegated to permanent second-class citizenry.
Mm-hmm.
That's
you
my
know,
story, and I'm sticking to it.
You know, George, I 3 weeks ago, I had your sidekick, Dr. Dennis Kimrow. And I know you guys been touring the country together for a few weeks now. And at the time he was on, he had just released his new book, The Wealth Choice. And he said, as he interviewed different people over the seven-year time frame, it took him to interview the people for the book, he realized that wealth is not about money. It's about courage. Why aren't more of us blacks more courageous towards a wealth, a wealthy choice or a wealthy mindset? Is it that because of mistrust in each other? Last week I had Andrew Morrison on, and one of the things he pointed out, he said, I'm at the stage now where if somebody come to me to consult with me about building their business and they don't have a partner, one of the first things I tell them is to go find a partner. And I heard you this morning laid out for us about a relationship, a network. You know, what other insight you have about that?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head. Wealth, building wealth and building anything significant is about courage. And it's the courage to step out, the courage to invest in the work necessary to ramp up your game and to be extraordinary at what you do, the courage to make the investment necessary, right? An investment is something you expect a return on, and then the courage to take on the right kind of partner. And we are wounded. We are deeply wounded people. Mm-hmm. We're still wounded. We have gone through a psychological holocaust second to none in the history of humankind. And so we are still overcoming. We were taught for 20 generations to hate ourselves and to hate anybody that looked like us, right? And to trust only one person. This is the whole Willie Lynch syndrome that we've been talking about for 25 years. So we're still wounded in that area. And that's one of the things that we work on deeply at the Power Networking Conference, is to help us to overcome, to train in ways, to think about each other in ways that overcomes this woundedness. Because you said it, Andrew said it, I'm saying it, you can't achieve anything on your own by yourself in a vacuum, right? You've got to trust and love and work with and through minimally people that look like you. Minimally. It doesn't mean that you don't work and partner with other folk, for sure. But they don't have the kind of cultural competency that someone that has gone through the same common experience with the same history, the same culture, the same values, that's a great place to start in partnership. And that's what we talk about at the Power Networking Conference. That's what we have workshops on. That's what we train on. We really have to reshape the thinking and the vision that we have of ourselves and thus we have of each other. You see, if I do not love me, there's no way that I can love you. Because when I look at you, you become a reflection of me. That's called low race esteem, which is driven by low self-esteem. And so until we fix that woundedness, now this is not everybody, okay? There are those of us that have gotten over this, right? This is not everybody. It's just most of us. Right? But it's not everybody. There are exceptions to that rule. And who are the exceptions? The billionaires and millionaires that Dennis Kimbrough talks about. Because you peel back the onion of the people that he writes about in his new book, The Wealth Choice, black people, right? Their success secrets of black millionaires. The people he talks about have the incredible ability to love themselves, to love people that look like them, to hire people that look like them, to work with and through people that look like them. Most of them, if you were to look at the people who work for them, look like them. There are others that they hire, but most look like them. Just like the people who work for East Indians look like East Indians. The people that work for Asians look like Asians. The people that work for Jewish people look like Jewish people, okay? So we understand that, and that's a powerful thing, and that's what we need to be doing. So That's what it's going to take for us to be the millionaire, billionaire status. We have to have the courage to overcome the self-hatred and racial hatred that we have of our own people. And we have to fix that. That's on us.
And we need to begin to trust each other, too. I mean, we are so...
That's part of it. But you can't trust someone if you don't like them, if you've been told not to trust them. See, we've been told not to trust each other. We've been told only to trust those who enslaved us, right? Mm-hmm. Read the Willie Lynch letter. We have been told not to trust each other for 20 generations, right? So that is a deep-seated psychological scar that has been passed on from generation to generation. And we talk about it all the time, this crab-in-the-barrel mentality and not trusting our own. We see the remnants of it. This is why we're at the bottom of every single statistic that matters in America, in spite of the fact that we're $920 billion annual economy, which would make us the 16th richest nation in the world, is that we won't do business with each other. We won't recycle our dollars. Of every $100 that we spend in Black America, $99.50 goes to white people, and 50 cents is recycled back into our own community. Okay, so if white people have $100, their $100, and we give them $99.50 of our money, they have $199.50, and you have just 50 cents, right? They have enough money to send their kids to school, build incredible neighborhoods, build incredible businesses, and you have 50 cents. Let me say that differently. You cannot blame someone. You cannot blame white people for 100% of your problems, and you're giving them 99% of your money.
Right.
Let's say that another way. You cannot give someone 99% of your resources and blame them for 100% of your problems. You can't do it.
That's right. We just need to stop playing the blame game and step up and take responsibility for that which we seek, because it's
important.
And we must begin to play our game correctly. Before you summarize, George, I want you to please tell people about the Power Networking Conference coming up in June. And all of that, and any other events you have coming up where they can come and see you live. Would you please do that?
Well, sure. The big one is the Power Networking Conference in Dallas, Texas, June 26th through the 29th. That's awesome. You've been there. You've participated in it on a number of occasions. If you want to, learn how to start a business, grow your business, grow your brand. You want to learn the state-of-the-art social media strategies and tactics. You want to learn the state-of-the-art branding, marketing, framing, positioning. You want to learn, what it takes. Again, we are a training conference. We're not just speaking and pontificating ad nauseum. Our people need training. So we don't spend a whole lot of time talking about the problems. We identify where we need work, where we need help, where we need growth. And that's what you come to the conference for, to meet people, to get access to some of the most important people in Black America, because if you want to network with important people, you have to be where important people are, and to get access to information and to find people who are interested in purchasing your products and services and helping you to learn how to grow and become amazing at what you do. So this is the conference. It's a $695 conference. Is it worth the $695? Sure. If you met one person that could change the trajectory of your life, is that worth $695, right? Well, what is the opportunity cost, right? What would it cost you not to be there? I can give you endless stories of people who have been there and have turned a million-dollar contract within 12 months, have found just the right opportunity, just the right business, just the right career as a result of being there. Was that worth $695? You better believe it is. So we encourage everybody listening to come to the conference. We have a special offer for my good friend Daphne and her friends. If you'd like to come to the conference, it's $399. $399. You get to come to the pre-conference day, which is on Wednesday. There's a whole program. You can go right on powernetworkingconference.com, www.powernetworkingconference.com, and see the entire agenda for the conference. So we have a special day on the 26th, with a whole program of incredible speakers and trainers, and then the official program starts on Thursday, the 27th and 28th and 29th. So that's the special day is $199. The conference is $695. We want you to bring a student. To bring a student is $395. Student meaning a college age student, someone 17 to 25. So what we do is we'll give you that whole package. We'll give you the bonus day. We'll give you, you can bring a college-age student. Not, don't have to be in college, just college-age. Or, and you bring yourself, you can get the whole package for $399. If you're interested in that package because you can't get it on our website, email me. Just email me at gfraser, F-R-A-S as in Sam, E-R, at frasernet.com, and I will make that special offer to you because you are a friend of Daphne's, therefore you're a friend of mine. So that's a special $399 offer, which gives you the bonus day on Wednesday, the full conference. You will come, and you can bring a college-age student free of charge. It's a $1,300 value for $399. That's my offer. The offer lasts for 24 hours. You have to come through me at G Fraser, F-R-A-S-E-R, at frasernet.com if you're interested, and we will give you that special offer. Okay?
Right. Thanks, George. Okay, I want to give you an opportunity to summarize what you want to leave with the listeners with.
Well, I just want to urge all of our listeners, anyone who is on with us right now at this moment in time, that we have everything we need to succeed, brothers and sisters, except each other. God has given us every single thing we need to succeed. We're a $920 billion economy. If we were a nation, we'd be the 16th richest nation in the entire world. We have $5 trillion of intellectual capital from just the baby boomer generation alone at 500 billion hours of formal education and professional training. 18% of us have at least a four-year college degree or better, and 60% of the black workforce in America, 9 million of us, are in executive, managerial, supervisory, professional, specialty, vocational, technical, administrative, sales, and business ownership positions. That is an army of potential role models and mentors to help those who are stuck in the cycle of poverty. So until we learn how to connect the dots, until we learn how to effectively network and to build relationships that enable us to leverage more effectively our collective resources and intellectual capital, because I believe that networking is the final thing that God wants us to learn how to do. That's the infrastructure that will allow us to take our people to the promised land. Until we learn how to do that, God ain't given us anything else, okay? Until we demonstrate to God that we can be better stewards of that which we already have. It is our generation, your generation, and the generation after that, that will be charged with the responsibility of taking our people out of the desert and into the promised land. And so I implore you to do everything you can, everything in your power, to move to amazingness, to demonstrate that we are the classic example of American exceptionalism. We have it like that. We are an awesome and powerful people, but too many of us have forgotten. So we must remember we are a sleeping giant, and we must wake up, and we must come together, and we must get real, and we must get going. Let me say that again. We must wake up, we must get real, and we must get going. And come to the conference. We'll show you exactly how to do that.
All right. So thank you so very much, George, for coming on. And, you know, I'm just so excited about the different outlook of each presenter that came to this platform on this millionaire mindset, because a lot of people have been paralyzed and just start. So I am glad that I was obedient enough to take up this challenge here and to just provide this platform conversation. And I know we have a few minutes. I want to give you the opportunity. It is always such a pleasure when I have George, and I don't have to do much talking because he just takes the microphone and he just do what he knows to do. People in the chat room, or for those of you on the lines, if you have a question before George, run on out of here. This is your opportunity to call in 646-915-8166 to ask him your question. And if you're in the chat room and you want to type the question, I will read it for George. So here, it's your opportunity now to take advantage of that. Any questions anywhere on the phone lines? Nobody calling in yet on the in the chat room. Any questions from you guys? Are you able to hear me in the chat room? Any questions? Okay, somebody's typing the Let It Be Good. Somebody's typing George, so.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's not good. The person, they say, just listening. Everybody wants to just listen. Nobody wants to participate in the conversation. Well, I know George took time out of his busy schedule to be here with us this morning. And unless you have more to add, George, nobody's dialing in, nobody in the chat room is typing anything. Unless you have something to do, I want to show some gratitude to you for coming this morning and invest in that which I am called to do. And I honor you. You know, I've been following you for many, many years. Can't wait to get back to the conference this year. There's been, 12 conferences, and I only missed two. So I'm glad to be back on track and to be coming there this year. Just thank you for leading the way for us and to help to boost our courage and to let us know it is okay to keep doing what you have to do and to strive for greatness and for awesome. Amazing. Because mediocrity just cannot cut it. So, again, I honor you and I thank you so much for what you do.
God bless you and keep doing God's work. And I'll see you at the conference in June. Thank you.
Thank you so very much. Yes, Dr. George C. Fraser, the founder of the Fraser Network, for Fraser Net Organization, and the Power Networking Conference. That is just an amazing thing. So you guys, you just got an opportunity where you can attend that amazing conference all 3 days for $300-something. So you better grab it now and tell everybody that you know that offer was made here today on the show. So just go and grab the opportunity. Because you know that is such a giveaway. Such a giveaway. You're going to one day event here and you're paying over $400 for it. So to go to a 3-day conference for $399, you don't want to miss that. So again, I am just so excited, and you know, this is the third week of the Millionaire Mindset. We have 3 more weeks to go. Next Wednesday, we have Deborah Hardnett, and I'm waiting to confirm 1 or 2 more women. And then the following week, we have William R. Patterson. And I don't know who else is going to be in the rain with him. I tell you, people are very slow in responding. I don't know if it's because they are busy or they're not ready to pick up the channel yet. But you just pray with me. that those people I'm waiting on to confirm that they will do that. And so we are just so excited about this this conversation. I'm having such a challenge with the media player this morning here. I'm not able to play my clips for my sponsors. I don't know why I am not getting that to play. So not sure. So I'm going to have to ask for my sponsors to forgive me about not playing. I have to give you double play on Friday. So I want to welcome, who just joined? I want to welcome guest 912 to the show. If you have any questions or any comments, feel welcome to call 646-915-8166. And let us hear what you have to add. And we'll see what your contribution is. I'm kind of distracted here because I'm trying to talk to the woman in the chat room and to get some help about fixing this problem with the media thing not playing. So we are not able to get that, so I'm not sure why it is not playing. So I'm still clicking on it and nothing is happening. So I think I'll just finish up today by finishing to share with you. I was prior to George calling in, I was sharing from Mike Robertson's speech that he did the 21st of September, 1985. And I tell you, what a powerful conversation and insight that George Frazier has gave us here this morning here. So I'll continue with Mike's speech. It says, I believe African Americans have everything we need right now to achieve true economic equality. African Americans generate $300 billion in income each year. You and I represent the 14th largest economy in the industrialized world. Let me give you some examples. There are 13 million African Americans employed in the country, nearly half of them in professional and technology positions in the business world. There are 425,000 black-owned businesses in the country, and I know the number has gone up. You heard some statistics that George gave. The top black-owned business is TLC, Beatrice International Holdings, a New York-based food processing and distribution with annual revenues of $1.6 billion. Johnson's Publishing of Chicago, a publishing, broadcasting, and cosmetic empire founded by John H. Johnson, has annual sales of $270 million. Among the newer black-owned businesses is Thread for Life, a Los Angeles company, which makes the Cross Colors clothing line that features positive messages of peace, racial harmony, and Black pride printed in vibrant colors. Through only a few years ago, Threads for Life has sales in excess of 89 million annually. Yes, there are millions of Blacks who are still impoverished, but other millions have been successful not only as individuals who have survive slavery, segregation, and American apartheid, but as an encouraging race of people whose scientists may develop highly complex and sophisticated civilization in Africa long before the white man evolved on the European continent. In other words, more than we have ever acknowledged, success is a tradition in our race. How do you join the successful millions? Have you ever noticed how exciting and creative you get when you really go after something you want? My mind goes into overtime in those situations. I solve minor problems in my sleep. My focus is so intense. When my dreams become energized, and when you are that energized, you draw people to you who empower you further. You must start with an agenda. I can see a lot of people right now saying to themselves, I don't have an agenda. I believe you do, but perhaps you don't realize it. An agenda is the means by which you reach your goals. Without an agenda, you are like a ship without a rudder, as a tourist without a map. Your personal agenda should be like the spray of a hose. The more focused it is, the more powerful. With a focused agenda in mind, you can concentrate your energy, enthusiasm, and excitement on your goals. Let me give you a few strategies for setting your agenda and focusing on it. List those things you have to offer, your expertise, talents, ideas, and resources. This is just affirming what George said about, you know, going to the table. You got to go with something. List the things you would like to obtain. These are your goals. For example, an education, a new job, a new house, a new car, a publisher, a computer, a board appointment. Set priorities for your agenda and go public with them. If you can't articulate your agenda and goals to others, then you have not really defined them. I expect you are now asking yourself, once I have an agenda, how do I get into the system? How do I succeed and prosper in a rapid changing environment? First, you must recognize that powerful forces will do everything possible to maintain the status quo. And the current status quo overwhelmingly benefits the white male. They make the rules and they control the game. But the game is changing, and they will inevitably fail to recognize this change in a decade or so. Their rules won't matter because they won't fit the game. This is your opportunity to create the system to write the rules of the game. If you have the vision to understand how the new game will be played, Robert Risch, president of Clinton's Secretary of Labor, has studied this change and determined that the rules will be established within a global, not national economy, and by small groups of entrepreneurs who develop the system and ability to, one, recognize a need, two, fill the need, three, and broker their ideas or products to those who demonstrate the need. He envisions the new global economy as a compromise of large multinational corporations and webs of small entrepreneurial businesses that serve their ever-evolving needs. Such needs can be as deterrent as computer programs, new forms of energy, new methods of communication, and things we can't even imagine today. Let me give you just one example. The FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration, has decided to commission the airlines to develop a new communication system for air traffic. This system will replace radar. It will use satellite communication to specifically locate all aircraft. It will increase air safety while at the same time allowing the greater air traffic. This software will be developed by a relatively small group of software engineers drawn from our major airlines, one of Robert Risch's webs. It is really interesting to note that the FAA did not want this new communication technology developed by means of a government contract because the procurement process is so slow. They were afraid that the technology will be outdated before their competitive bidding process settled on a contractor. Even if they don't realize it, the FAA has recognized that our economy is changing and that the old rules won't work. Where do you go from here? Let's first remember that one of Dr. Martin Luther King's greatest lessons to us was that life is a series of choices. When faced with injustice, we must choose to fight or walk away. When faced with opportunity, we must choose to take a risk, seize the opportunity, or stay in our comfortable industrial age job. God gave us a mind that can make you think positive or negative, a mint that can't propel you into the new information age or trap you into the dying industrial age. It's true that a slave who is free on paper but doesn't know he's free or doesn't think he's free is not free. Remember, if you always do what you have always done, you'll always be what you have always been. We cannot wait for a fairy godmother to do things for us. We must use what we have to get what we want. You need to take action now more than ever before. You need to lead the way. You need invincible determination. Action is what lifts an idea, a hope, a dream off a page and gives it structure. Action and action alone does it. Folks, if I offered you a $20 bill right now to stand here and give a speech, if you are like most audience in America, nobody would come forward and take that $20 bill. Taking action is the number two fear in America, just after public speaking. But it is action that creates the winner. That is winner in the world of business. Action separates the positive thinker from the desperated, the satisfaction from the frustrated, even the happy from the unhappy. Most of all, action gets things done. Action overcomes fear. You must learn to take risk if you are to succeed in business. As a great African American once said, one who risks nothing has nothing, does nothing, is nothing. Risks are studied regularly by business persons. I don't take risk in a literal sense. I measure risk. And so should you. It's very unlikely that someone will surface one day and save you from the humdrum of life, of your life, or your job. You must look to yourself for your redemption and survival. You must be incorruptible, courageous person, willing to face the status quo squarely in their face and not blink. You must rise above the past and transcend the future. If you take the high road of sacrifice versus the low road of submittal, success is attainable. Frederick Douglass once said, "Power never concedes to anything but power, never has and never will." My question to you is, do you have the vision to recognize opportunity in your rapidly changing economy and the courage to trust your instincts and ideas in spite of those who will work against you in the defense of the status quo, and the endurance to act upon your ideas? Or will you bow down to the status quo defenders, letting fear lead you to mediocrity or failure? You and only you decide who or what you will follow. Those who confess negativity with their mouth often wonder why they fail. I believe that now, more than ever, you must question authority. Each of us must challenge the system which tells us we can't succeed alone. The system that tells us we must trust the status quo to lead the way. Take the rules and rest. Women and African Americans in business, get the same message. Take it easy. Don't rock the boat. We are the children of the two great revolutions. The first was the Civil Rights Revolution in the 1960s through 1970s, and the second is now upon us. The first revolution gave us the self-confidence. Only comes with complete citizenship, the right to vote, to elect our own, to influence and change public policy from local school boards to the U.S. Congress. The second will call upon that self-confidence to give us courage to pursue of new ideas, new business opportunities, and new fortunes. If you are willing to challenge the system and be part of this change, the world will embrace you. The classic definition of an entrepreneur is that embodies the true spirit of free enterprise. She takes the risk, trusts her judgment, then others doubt her course. This is the true character of American business, this character of men and women who build this country. Now, you heard three different perspectives on the millionaire mindset. There are three more to come. I want to encourage each and every one of you to go out there and let us begin to cultivate a millionaire mindset. Listen, you heard Dr. George C. Fraser this morning. Tell us, if you want to be amazing, what you need to do. So let's go out there and make it happen. I look forward to seeing you come back on Friday the 29th to celebrate with me my 4 years here on Blog Talk Radio and the virtual book launch of my books on Friday. So see you Friday at 7 p.m. And please just share this with all of the other listeners. Thank you and stay blessed. Because of the technical problems, I will not be able to play the music, closing music, I think. Okay, so I'll see you on Friday. Stay blessed. Hold on a minute. Hold on. Who is this?
It is a car.
Oh, you left. I am good. You leave a message and then I don't know who it was. It says. Saturday's what date? Hold on a minute. Wait, I don't want this to. I was having problems with the radio thing. I was on the radio show, so I'm making sure everything is off, that I'm not recording.